as we come together on this evening, once again, continuing to give God thanks for all that He has done for us. We are going to answer another question on this evening, reference to who is God? Who is God? God is not, I repeat, God is not a man. The scripture reference that Brother DeMille read gave us the answer of who God is. God in John chapter 4 and the verse is 24. John 4 verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I could sit down right now and a lot of people would be very, very happy. But that is not going to take place. But God is a spirit. And again, those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I forgot to set my timer. Let me do this for you. And we're going to try it one more time. That's okay. In the book of John 4:24, as we look at that verse again, that God is a spirit and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, we need to keep that in mind as we go through the lesson and understand who God is. God is the one that in the beginning, the Bible states, He created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1:1. Now, if in the beginning God created everything, including man, that makes it impossible for Him to be a man Himself. So He is God. There's not a man that is set among us right now that can make another man. We don't have that power. We can't go to the beach and get some sand and put it together with a little water and create a man. Now, we make sandcastles all day long, but not one of us can make a man. And as we have made that man, breathe into his nostrils and make him a living being. We don't have that power. God has reserved that power for Himself. He said in the beginning when He was talking about creating man, he made the statement, let us make man in our own image. Now, if we had that power, think about it. Now, if we as men had that power to create another man, how would we create him? I believe there are times where we look at our lives and we find that we are missing something. That we're not measuring up to what the next man wants us to be or what we even should be. So therefore, we are going to, as people today are making robots and these cars that are able to drive themselves, they're bettering the things in which they're making. God wasn't trying to make man better than Him. He said, let us make man in our own image, trying to get man to understand when he was created that I have created you in a fashion that you can be pleasing in my sight. Be ye holy, for I am holy. But he didn't surrender or relinquish that power that he had over to man. He gave man a choice to make right decisions. He gave man a choice to either choose to do right or choose to do wrong. The God that we worship is not a man, so therefore the God that we worship cannot, as we're going to read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23, cannot lie. He cannot lie. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and the verse is 19. How many of you have told a lie lately? Well, BJ, don't look at me like that. We have lied and lied and lied again. We tell lies without even thinking about telling lies. The brother mentioned this morning that some drunks, they tell the truth when they are drunk. And I mentioned that the reason that most of them tell the truth when they're drunk because they can't think of a lie. But the God that we serve, he doesn't get drunk. The Bible states in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 19. Is that the right verse? Read it for me, Brother Brian. That's not what I'm looking for. Brother Glenn, you know exactly what I'm looking for. I know you are. The Bible is going to state when he finds that scripture that God has not been made with the hands of men. That God cannot lie. He is neither man nor made by man. So therefore, he can't lie. He is our God. He is the God that we should worship. And he's the God, y'all don't need that. He's the God that we should be serving because of who he is. The great creator, the great I am.
Numbers 23.
That's God. Thank you very much. Numbers 23. Go ahead, Brother BJ. 23:19. He is not a man that he should do what? Not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. What does repent mean? Turn back. Turn back. What does God have to turn back to? Nothing. Nothing at all, because he has never done anything wrong. This repentance deals with doing something wrong and having to turn back to the great creator, who is God. God is not a man. He is the great creator. He is the one that we need to be worshiping. He's the one that we need to be serving. Isaiah teaches us that God is God all by himself. All by himself. He is God, and we need to worship him. In the book of Isaiah 64, Isaiah 64, and the verse is 8. Isaiah 64 and the verse is 8. Listen what the Bible says, because a lot of times we get things wrong. We have recalls on automobiles. We have recalls on these robots that they're building. Even the big trucks, you know, they had to have that man, and they still do have that man sitting behind that wheel. Although this truck is like on autopilot, doing what it's supposed to do, but you got that man back there just in case it makes a mistake. Our God has never made a mistake. In creating man, he didn't make a mistake. In the great plan of salvation, of redemption, God has not made a mistake. Listen what Isaiah says. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. The work of your hand. Again, going back to the beach scene, building sandcastles. They have contests. See who can build the biggest sandcastle or the best sandcastle. And they judge those things. And they go around and they put ribbons on the best ones. Have you ever heard them say, we're going to have a contest and see who can build the best man? No, you don't hear that. We want to see who can build something that's indestructible. That nobody can change the form of this thing that I'm building. You don't have that. God created us again in His image. He created man upright. You get a computer or you get a robot or something to come off the assembly line, it has problems. From start to finish, it has problems. And there are recalls on those things. God has not recalled man. Now what we find in Scripture is that when the wickedness of mankind came up before God, that God said, you know, Noah, you need to build this ark because you and your family are going to be saved. And I'm going to destroy everybody else. He didn't go back to the drawing board and say, well, I need to create a new man. And I need to create him that he can never sin again. God didn't say that. He still gave man a choice. And we have to accept that and do the things that are right before him. In the book of Revelation, the chapters 4 and the verses 11. Revelation chapter 4 and the verse 11. Again, God is not a man. He is not a man. When we turn to man and we tell man about our problems, we were talking in class this morning that our problems sometimes beat us back to where we're going. Give your problems to God and you don't have to worry about it. Relinquish the things that are troubling you over to God and you don't have to worry about it. Now again, God doesn't want that person that he is not fellowshipping with for you to turn him over to you. God said turn him over to Satan. Let Satan have him. But I want the things that's best. I want the best of your worship. I want the best that you have to offer me. I want you to offer up your body as a spiritual sacrifice unto me. Man doesn't care about your best. Oh, that's your best? Okay, I accept that. That's not God. God wants our very best in the things that we do unto him. Revelation chapter 4 and the verse is 11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Now, who's the creator again? The creator is God. And I don't want anybody to go home tonight and try to make a man because you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to do it. God has done that already. We need to accept what God has done. Well, we can't. We cannot perfect on what God has done. We just have to accept what God has done. And again, going right back to worshiping Him. We don't worship men. Why do we not worship men? Because men will let us down. They will let us down. Men lie to us. Men have to repent once again. This is just the nature of man, to tell a lie. You don't have to. But he chooses to. There's a lot of things that God has said in His Word, and God has put stipulations on those things that we don't get what He has promised to us. But when we promise something to somebody and they go and do everything that you have told them to do, and then they come in and try to receive what you promised to them, we tell them, no, you can't have that. That's not the God that we serve. We serve a living God. He's not a God that we have to carry from place to place. He's not a God that we can go out here and pick out the best tree and say, this is what I'm going to carve my God out of. We don't do that. They did that in the book of Isaiah, where they carved the gods out of trees and then they took the other wood and put it in the fire and burned it. Our God is not created by man's hands. He is the creator of all things. He was in the beginning. You know that the evolution. No, it's not a Big Bang theory that we're looking at. We're looking at the voice of God. Let there be light. He's God. He can say that, and He did say it, and it did happen. He created all things, again, by speaking most of them into existence. Creating man once again from the dust of the ground. We need to accept that. We go to the book of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And we find these words reference to who God is. Romans chapter 9, verse 19 through 24. Romans 9, verse 19 through 24. You say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But
Who are you,
O man,
to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to the molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out the same lump, one vessel for honorable use and for another dishonorable use?
What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Verse 23, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. Even us, whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. God has called us. Remember what the scriptures teach us in Acts chapter 2. Not just to you, but also to your children. That's what the Bible states in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, is it not? This promise is for you, to your children, to those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. We have been called by the gospel. Man can only call you so far. We need cell phones to call the person in the next state. We need the cell phones to call the person down the road. We need to listen to the voice of God that has rung out through the world. And men need to listen to his voice and answer that call before it's everlasting too late. The God we serve is not a man. He is God. The Bible says he is a spirit. Therefore, we need to continue to do the things that are right before him and understand that he has extended to us grace. He's extended to us mercy. He's extended to us salvation. And we need to accept those things by doing what is right. In Ephesians chapter 2, who are we before God? We answer the question, who is God? Then we need to ask ourselves, who are we? Who are we? Brother DeMel did a lesson on that. Who are we? We need to understand that we are who God desires us to be when we do the things that God wants us to do. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse is 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship. We're the ones that God has created. We're the ones that need to understand the importance of doing the things that are right before him. Do you know who you are this morning or this evening? Do you know that God is interested in you? Do you realize that time is running out? That tomorrow is not promised to us? That we need to understand once again that God is God. He is the one that we need to look to. He's the one that we need to understand that will come to our aid when we are in trouble. We need to understand that he's there through the good times and the bad times, where man, in many cases, when you're going through bad times, will abandon you, will leave you. But the Bible says that God will never forsake us. We turn our backs on him. Isaiah said it, you know, just so plain, so clear, that our iniquities have separated between us and our God. We do things wrong because of wickedness. God has nothing to do with us. But again, we look at man, and when you're doing something wicked, a lot of people don't care. They still want to flock towards you. In the military, when someone messed up and you'll turn around and you see another stripe on their collar or on their shoulders, you say, I guess if you mess up, you get moved up. But we need to understand, our God doesn't operate like that. You mess up, you get moved out. So we need to know the importance of who God is. He is not a man. He's not a man. If you can understand that, and you can look out your door, and you see all the things that God has done, you go and you look in the mirror and you look at yourself and you see how God created you. Talking about mistakes, there's that person that says when he or she is doing something wrong and they make that statement, I just can't help myself. God created me like this. Again, God didn't create messed up people. He did not create messed up people. We mess ourselves up.
by doing things in order to alter our thinking from time to time. We do things to alter our bodies from time to time and say, God made me like this. No, God did not. God did not. He created us again upright. He created us holy. Therefore, we need to live for Him and do the things that are right. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, this is just a brief outline of who God is, what God cannot do, and the reason He can't do those things, and who we are before Him. Understanding that there is a person out there, when we start talking about lying, that he tells all sorts of lies. He tells those lies because He wants you to be part of His family instead of the family of God. In John chapter 8, in the verses 44, John chapter 8 in the verses 44. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He is a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And is that not just the opposite of who God is? God is not the father of lies. God is the father of truth. He cannot lie. But Satan told all sorts of lies and still tell them today. Amen. We need to understand again who God is. And we need to do the things that's right. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. Impossible for Him to lie. He can't do it. He can't do it. Have you ever tried to do something that you just couldn't do? And again, you know, we say, you can do whatever you want to do. Just set your mind to do it. Now, there are some things we can't do. For that man that goes and have a sex change and think that he can have a baby, he just can't do it. It's impossible. So we need to understand. And when that woman says, you know, I'm the father and the mother. No, you can't be the father and the mother. You can only be a mother. Because God made you a woman. So therefore, you can only be a mother. Something is just impossible for a man to do. But to lie, oh, we can lie easy. It's easy, but the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. We need to understand that and we need to accept that. So He is not a man. He is God. Not a God. He is the God. The God that we should serve. If you have not decided in your life, in your mind, that you want to be part of the family of God, the creator of this world, why not make that decision tonight? Why not come down the aisle and make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and put Christ on through baptism? Why not do that this evening? The opportunity is yours. The invitation is yours. Why not accept it? You know, we talk about opportunity from time to time. You know, therefore, to him, you know, when you have opportunity to do good, you do good unto all men, especially those in the household of faith, the Bible teaches. That's God's word. You know, if we were God and we were the writers of this word, we'd write something totally different. But this is what God says. He gives us the plan of salvation to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and then to live faithful. He gives us those things in his word. But according to man, man said you can become a Christian any way you want to. But God said there's only one way, and it's my way. It's my way. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. If you're here and you're straight away from the fold, we want to encourage you to come back before it's everlasting too late. Again, this morning we answered the question in reference to will the Baptist churches and the Christian churches, will they go to heaven? Will they be there? They will not go to heaven. They will not be there. Men have to change their way of thinking in order to line up with God's word in order to get into heaven in the end. Live a faithful life. Die faithfully. Realizing once again who God is. He is not a man. You don't have to wake up in the morning and he's changed his mind on how he wants you to live, what he wants you to do. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about him saying, let me sleep on it for a little while and then I give you an answer. You don't have to worry about that. The answers are already there. All we have to do is follow them. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.